My earliest memory of Motorhead is at the CNE, the Canadian National Exhibition, which is pretty much an amusement park. It's still there. It's filled with roller coasters, games, petting zoos, a bandstand, cotton candy, you know, your typical fair. I want to say I was 9 or 10 years old because at this point I could read and I was starting to get into popular music. And what the memory is of a guy with long hair, mustache, sunglasses, jeans, t-shirt, a jean vest, and a baseball hat with the Motorhead insignia on it. What I remember was the Motorhead logo being in black and white, and the guy wearing it looked like a criminal. Basically the kind of guy your mom tells you to stay away from. As a kid, he kind of scared me, and I always associated this kind of guy with that band. Now, in retrospect, he couldn't have been that dangerous because we were in front of the fishing game. You know, that game where you lob your fishing pole into the water and it hooks onto a turtle or something and you win a prize. Everyone's a winner. But what made a big impression on me was I knew Motorhead was a rock band by this time. I'd never heard them. But the idea of a band opting to strictly use only black and white in their logo and design was scary to me. Of course, I couldn't articulate it at the time, but the impression was definitely made. This was the 80s, after all, when glam and glitz were king, and being a kid, I was naturally attracted to colorful things. Even Iron Maiden and Judas Priest and Motley Crue were utilizing a lot of colors in their album covers. Just look at Number of the Beast, or Screaming for Vengeance, Theater of Pain, or Twisted Sister's Stay Hungry. And here was this band that didn't seem to care for any of it. That is my earliest memory of Motorhead. And of course you grow up, and I eventually found out I liked bands with black and white logos that were dangerous. Maybe that was the impression that sowed the seed, who knows. But you eventually figure it all out. You figure out the concept of what is cool and the hierarchy that goes along with it, jigsawing the various bands and the various characters involved. And no matter who your favorite band is, no matter who your favorite musician is, because, I mean, my favorite bands are Kiss and Metallica. I can't lie, but it doesn't matter. Motorhead always ends up at the top of everyone's pyramid. Motorhead is the coolest band in music. And its leader, His Eminence Lemmy Kilmister, is the coolest rock and roller on the planet Earth, which makes him kind of the real king of rock and roll. I mean, I'm not saying anything that anyone with even a remote interest in hard rock and heavy metal don't know already. This is almost a fact at this point. But I think a lot of the recent plaudits, tributes, and testimonials on Lemmy the Man and Motorhead the Band is because people are finally starting to recognize Motorhead as the genuine article, and are now bending over backwards to make amends for the almost 40-year snub. Even me, the first time I heard Motorhead at 11 or 12 when I was in grade 6 or grade 7, I didn't get it right away. It was a marked leap, a little too advanced for a kid wide-eyed over Rat and Van Halen. It would take a little more music listening and living life to get songs like Iron Fist and Chase is Better Than the Catch. I mean, when I first heard Ace of Spades, I thought it was about a deck of cards and all the games you could play with it. I didn't know shit. Besides, the guitars were too brash, and the singer was too harsh. And as a kid attracted to all things hard and heavy, I soon discovered heavy metal, then punk rock, etc., etc., and things started to ramp up from there. But through everything, no matter what the heavy band of the week, Motorhead was always just there, really. Never stopping, never softening, never really in the foreground either, almost omnipotent. And it didn't matter if it was a punk rock band like the Cro-Mags or a heavy band like Metallica, everyone yielded to Motorhead. The world of heavy music sure has changed since I first got into it. It used to be thought of as not so much outsider music than simply music for losers. You can't imagine how often I was laughed at for liking it in school. And now, in 2014, it's become fashionable to like it, with extreme bands being poached by trendy hipsters who feign discriminating taste while they conveniently overlook the bands that built its foundation. Wherever Motorhead stand on this transitory scale of hipness matters little, and so does their musical categorization. Call them whatever you want, but past the volume, old English lettering, and snaggletooth imagery, they're just a good old rock and roll band, something I think their own fans sometimes forget, despite Lemmy's constant reminding at every show. We first played with Motorhead in June of 2002 in Dublin, Ireland for the Extreme Fest, which also featured No Means No, Raging Speedhorn, and Dukes of Nothing. Flying back home, we managed to run into drummer Mickey D, and he was very gracious with us. I remember it being one of the first times we ran into someone from a band we really admired, chatting with them on a peer level about the gig we both had done the night before. In 2003, we played the Barfly in London, England, and it was a packed gig that night. Good show. But only after did we find out that Lemmy had watched the whole thing from the back of the club. JC and I ended up hanging with him till the wee early morning hours. And since then, Lemmy and Motorhead have been very kind to our band. They've taken us out on tour, I've gotten to go on stage and sing with them, and Lemmy's been in our music videos and our book. I'm sure he can see, as a lot of people can, our band very much mirrors his in many ways, from the strong MC5 influence to the black onstage garb, to both our bands being trios. Whenever someone has bothered to criticize our band for one reason or another, I've always leaned on Motorhead for the answer. What would Motorhead do? Or what did Motorhead do? Being accepted by Motorhead makes all the hard work and nonsense worth it. It's like a force field or a cloak of resistance, bestowing us with enough self-assurance to keep trudging forward. And by his side, for the last 30 years, has been guitarist Phil Campbell. Joining the band in 1984, Campbell didn't make his debut on Wax until the now legendary album Orgasmatron. That is one hell of a way to make a debut. Since then, he's remained beside Lemmy throughout all member changes. And like clockwork, churning out a record almost every 2 years, Motorhead have stayed on course, never once sullying their legacy, due largely to Campbell's consistent guitar work. Last month, we climbed aboard the maiden voyage of Motorhead's motorboat cruise, a distinct honor and something we blindly accepted. Not knowing what we were in for, I can confidently say that all of us enjoyed the 4 days out to sea with Anthrax, Testament, Down, High on Fire, Jim Brewer, Zakk Wylde, and Fireball Ministry. Everyone was in good spirits and really there for one thing, to watch Motorhead play. I caught up with Phil Campbell on the third day of the cruise to shoot the shit, catch up, and record it all for posterity. Phil Campbell is quite a character, always jovial and ready for fun at every turn, as you'll hear. He's been so nice to us over the years and very welcoming into the Motorhead fold. Being that this was his cruise, he still made time for me in the podcast, so thank you very much, Phil. Thanks to Victor Marin for helping to coordinate this and the rest of the Motorhead crew. Also, thanks to Mattia Stotti, our tour manager, who has appeared on other podcasts before, Tad Doyle, the Duff McKagan episode. So here, Victor and Matthias are also present in the room, adding to the conversation from time to time. I want to thank Blue Mic Microphones for the Yeti mics and Skull Candy Headphones for the Aviator headphones. Thank you to everybody who has left a rating or a review on iTunes or SoundCloud. I really do appreciate this. So thanks for listening. I edit this and I record this at my place. And when I do it, I'm not really thinking anyone's going to hear it. So I'm pleasantly surprised when someone tells me, you know, they've heard a certain episode or they listen to the podcast regularly. So without further ado, here is Phil Campbell and I, somewhere out to sea between Florida and Mexico, on the official Danko Jones podcast. And it starts now. The Danko Jones podcast is the best around. They play the kid as Danko's go out down for free. I'm so glad I do sometimes. Damn it, from fucked up. Stop playing. Hang down, down.
You're about to listen to the greatest podcast on the net. It's the official Danko Jones podcast. Get ready for your host, Danko Jones. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
All right, we're here on the motorboat with Phil Campbell from Motorhead.
Hey, folks.
Usually I'm opening for you guys, but now I'm like, I don't want it to be an interview because we're just hanging out. That's what the podcast is all about.
That's what we do now.
But but it's going to seem like an interview because we're doing this, we've structured this time and put aside this time to talk. But how's the motorboat been?
It's been remarkably a lot of fun. We knew it was going to be good because all the cool bands and we're all mates. I think 90% of each of the people here know each other, you know, and be looking forward to it. And it hasn't disappointed, has it? You know, had a good blast.
Thanks for having us.
I enjoyed fucking interrupting your breakfast yesterday. Me and Victor, like,
well,
that's what we do as well.
Like. Busting my balls as usual. Yeah. And even getting here, I knew I was going to be 10 minutes late, and I told Stoddy, I was like, he's going to give me...
3 days I waited in his cabin
He's been busting my balls for the whole time the motorboat. Imagine now, I'm going to be 10 minutes late, the ball busting that I'm going to
I came on Monday, and I got out of my cabin 45 minutes ago. I've been waiting for you since Monday.
But, I didn't mean to hit you up the first 2 minutes I saw you to do the podcast, but I did. I couldn't help it, man.
No, I know.
You're going to be...
I'm irresistible,
like,
isn't I?
You're the most in-demand person here. You guys are... It's my
right.
So,
okay,
yeah.
Don't take the piss now. Come on, go too over the top.
But
You're pretty in-demand yourself, man.
Well, I will not be able to watch you guys for the whole time because whoever did the scheduling scheduled us right before you guys.
We did it on purpose because we don't want you to come and sing with us
again.
That's
you. Yeah. Is someone singing Killed by Death?
Huh?
Is someone going up and singing?
Yeah, we get any road sweeper from the crowd.
Oh,
anyone,
really?
Yeah, anyone will sound better than you did last time. So.
The last time I did Killed by Death, I got a sign and it just said cock. But Dan Halen misspelled cock and it just said cook. You put a cock sign on
you
my back.
You should have been concentrating on the crowd, not looking at Dan Halen, you know. Maybe you would have gone down, maybe you would have got an applause or two at the end, you know. You're always welcome, Dan, you know that.
Yeah, thanks, Phil.
I'm just fucking with you as usual.
I know.
As much as you fuck with me.
I don't fuck with you.
No. You are now. She's fucking my sleeping tech. What do you mean you don't fuck with me? I've been 3 days waiting for you here in this fucking cabin.
I saw you.
That was my brother. My decoy.
Well, yes.
Are we going to try and watch you? What time are you playing tonight?
No, we're playing an hour before you guys. It's not going to work.
9 o'clock.
And last time we... Well, 2 days
Dario's
ago,
on at 9, isn't he? Dario and Zach are on at 9 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really? We're up against Zach Wilde?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Well...
It's all right, man. Yeah, fine. Yeah.
And you had something to do with this.
I got some cardboard cutouts I can put in your crowd if you want to make a crowd bigger.
Can you put a cardboard cutout of me when you do Kill by Death tonight? Can you put a cardboard cutout of me?
Take a picture now. I'm sure we could do it. Like, yeah. We've probably got one or two already.
Shit. Well, I mean, it's great every time I've done Kill by Death. I think I've done it like 15 times.
Not many.
Yeah. I was counting and then I lost track for a while, and then I relished the fact that I lost count, and I brag about
you really
how
15?
I've lost count.
Is it really 15? I would have thought it was like 5 or 6 or something. You're exaggerating, isn't it?
No. It's like, okay, it's definitely over a dozen times.
Let a reprobate like you sing for us fucking 15 times.
Yes,
on stage.
With the exception...
We're slipping, guys. We're slipping.
And the last time I did it was in Toronto, which was my hometown, so it's just, that was the best. What?
Did that happen? I don't remember. Maybe.
Yeah, no, it was in 08.
Oh,
and then 09 was...
That was the last time, was it?
Yeah, it happened started in 06. You were the one who asked me.
I normally ask you, yeah.
Yeah, and Hellfest in 06. And then two more times in that summer, and then the last one was in 09, so it was cool. I was wondering if I could do it, but then I saw the schedule.
I know, scheduling, that's the only problem with this, I think, guys, is the Someone had to do it. I know. There's tons I've missed. There's some good stuff I've seen, but there's tons of shit that I've missed. Yeah. I don't know about you. We can't fit everything else in.
No, I mean, you know, someone had to be the sacrificial lamb to go in front of Motorhead on the motorboat. And we did it twice. So that's okay. Yeah. We'll do it. It's cool. It's just the first time 2 days ago, they announced on the PA while we were playing, in between the songs, Motorhead are about to go on.
Did it? Yes.
We're playing.
It has nothing to do with me, I swear. I'm the first guy you thought of, right? That's Campbell again.
You can't believe
you serious?
Phil would go through that trouble.
No, nothing to do with me.
No, I know. I know. But yeah, they're like, yeah, get over into the Blue
next
Sapphire.
Next time.
Oh, tonight.
Motorhead, in the middle of the song, Motorhead are about to do their shoelaces up.
But after the motorboat, you also have the All-Star Band going.
Yeah, yeah.
So, which is a new thing. How's that going, and how did that start?
Well, my eldest son, Todd, he's on the boat now with his girlfriend. Yeah, he had his 30th birthday party in Wales a couple of years ago. So we had a house band. We had to organise a big party for him. And then me and his brothers and a singer called Neil Starr. He used to sing with Attack Attack and Dopamine. And he's a brilliant singer, Neil, yeah. So we rehearsed 5 songs. So we took the instruments off the house band and did 5 songs. And it was so good. So we've done about 2 or 3 tours now and everything. So, page and everything.
It's like a family thing then.
Yeah, yeah. We got a cracking version of Children of the Grave, a free download on our Facebook page. It's great.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right.
So at the moment, we've just been doing we're like a party band. We've been just doing covers and Motörhead stuff, but we're going to do some of our own things. We got a tour lined up now after the Motörhead one. So it's just fun anyway. So playing with your children, with your kids, like.
I was trying to get you back. I sent you an email back.
Possible.
Too.
Look what happened with Testament. With Chuck was trying to get me. I rode a horse on stage, didn't I?
Really?
Didn't you know about that?
What, on this tour?
No. On the Metal Masters years ago. There's us. There's Testament. Us, Heaven and Hell, and Judas Priest.
Right.
So the night before. I'd only just met Chuck, really got to know him on our tours. So we hung out good. I introduced him to drinking some cider and stuff and fart machines and blah, blah, blah. And he made the grave mistake of saying at Irvine Meadows, I think, that tomorrow's the last gig of the tour, Campbell. We're going to fucking outdo you. We got some fucking stuff lined up for you. I went, oh, Chuck, you wasted your time, man. You're out of your fucking league. So he had a couple of strippers lined up the next gig, and I rented a full fucking size horse with wore a dress that Ronnie Dio gave me in a blue wig, and I just rode it on stage right in the middle of their set, in the middle of the fucking with a big red laminate like that. It's all on video and pictures, yeah.
And did they end up bringing out the strippers?
Yeah, it was the time on it. You ask him, yeah, he bows down to me. The big man bows down.
You gave away the newspapers.
Huh?
You gave away the newspapers also.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah, because the next day, I said to our manager the night before, Chuck, I said, I'll probably get a fucking horse tomorrow, show that bastard or whatever. And I forgot all about it. And the next day at the Shoreline Amphitheatre, our tour manager came. He said, right, anyone want anything from the runner? And I went, oh, this is Plan C, so it's for anyone. I said, I'll have six bags of marbles, just in case, just to roll on stage. 25 USA Today newspapers and 1 large horse. I said, okay, you serious now, Phil? You want a horse? Yeah, got a nice large horse would be good. So I thought it ain't going to happen anyway, but he came back an hour later. We got a horse, Phil, we got a horse. It's $500 for the hour. But we have to subdue the horse. The owner's going to come, but we have to give the horse some Valiums. The Phil owner's cool with that, it's great. So Testament, yeah. I told Tiffany knew about it. And I said, so she told Chuck, she said, look, after the third song, because we didn't want to shock the horse because of volume,
right.
Even though it was tranquilized, So she said, she told, no, seriously. So she, the name of the horse was Amber, by the way. So she told Chuck, she said, look, after the third song, just take a minute and just say, we'd like to thank, being on tour with Priest and Evernell, blah, 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 blah. And that was our cue, so we went on. I think Mickey, Lemmy was dressed in a turban, wiping up the horse shit, and Mickey had my pantomime Mexican donkey costume on. I'm in a large horse. I'm waving. I'm like Caesar waving. There's full sunlight. It's brilliant. And then so that was the Testament gig. Then I got changed. I did a Moped thing like that. Then as soon as Moped finished, I ran on. I distributed in the first 20 rows, one page each for USA Today newspapers. So when Heaven and Hell came on, right, I told them, I said, it's the last gig, it's a prank. So when Iommi came on and Ronnie, the first fucking 50 rows of reading newspapers, they're looking around like, oh, I'm in the side going, yeah, boys, think, ah, you bastard. And Judas Priest wanted to cancel. But I was too. They didn't want to fucking play. They didn't know what was going to happen.
Did you have something planned for?
No, I don't. I was spent by then. No, I didn't have enough time. They were very worried, though.
That's
so beware.
Awesome.
So I was just talking about it, but you can see the video online and everything. The warm up, the horse, Moped on horse.
There's another story you told me when you, Eddie. First started working with Motorhead.
I pretended I was hung myself in the toilet. Yeah.
Shit, that story.
Tour manager's first day. Let's see if he's worthy enough. So I pretended I hung myself in the bathroom of the tour bus.
But you led it up to like you were depressed, you were sad.
Yeah.
You pretended to fight with Butcher, didn't you?
Huh? You pretended to get into a fake fight with a crew. Yeah. I said, then I disappeared for half an hour. So I put a belt around my neck in the toilet. And I expected Eddie to come down within 15 minutes. I'm there. I'm looking at the toilet door. And it's going all. I nearly did hang myself. It's going over speed bumps and everything. Go, oh. I was there for 45 minutes just looking for the door to open so I'd be ready. And after like almost an hour, he came and I was going. And he screamed, didn't he? But he's still with us now, anyway. So
yeah.
Put him through the test.
And how about
Victor?
Vic.
I don't know. No, I don't know what I've done.
You won't believe what I've done
to him. No.
Our share of pranks. When we did
we stink bomb McKagan a lot of times, yeah.
We did a remote one.
McKagan scared of my stink bomb.
With his tech Paul, he was doing some shows with the walking papers, and we sent him, hey, this stink bomb is for Duff.
And honestly, just as the stink bomb came,
they were opening for.
Just as the stink bomb came, Kate Hudson walked in with a singer with me, his boyfriend, and all his business people.
So they thought that Duff, lost his breakfast or something.
they all walked him off straight away.
And then Paul, the tech, just sent us a picture of the face Duff at that moment.
There you go. They knew it was me. They knew it was Campbell.
Fuck, man.
Paul Spencer, right?
Yeah, Paul Spencer, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He came right down the front and everyone, like, and it just...
I feel like I got off easy then. That's great. Thanks for letting me off the hook.
Yeah.
Don't say that. Nobody let off
and
the hook.
I would say that.
You don't have the other side of that door yet. You're in my cabin.
Oh shit!
I would say that the Campbell Comedy Corporation wasn't professional enough on this trip because we forgot the stink bombs.
Yeah, so we haven't been professional.
That was not professional of us at all.
I regret forgetting the stink bombs. We've had them imported, especially flown in.
Yeah, we got
to Europe. We forgot to bring them from Europe.
Wait a minute. What is it? The Campbell Comedy Corporation.
Let me give you our business cards.
Yeah.
Who is this?
Me and Victor.
The two of you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What?
On the some of the cards, I got a quote from Muhammad Ali. Yeah. It's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am. On the card sale.
Presidente.
I got one. Yeah, I got loads there.
I already got one.
You got one. You got one.
So you have. So Phil is El Presidente. I'm an El Vice Presidente.
Vice Presidente.
So if I call this
baptizes,
number,
you know, like birthday parties, everything.
Okay, yeah. So if I call this number, what can I get?
What do you want?
Whatever we decide.
So what? Pranks.
Don't call
for
numbers, investing.
So it's
block your number if you call it. Be a good start.
So if I call this
number... I know your number anyway, so you've got no chance.
You do know my number, too.
She's scared, isn't he? Okay, appears on video.
When you said no chance, I remember when we print those T-shirts at the team, Lemmy Steck crashed his car, right, on the highway. And we did this.
5 minutes later, I'm calling him Carlos. Carlos.
We did this T-shirt with a pair of glasses. And in the back,
driving
school, 1-800, no chance.
How fast turnaround did you guys have that ready?
One day took.
No.
Fuck. Are you serious? You guys are handing these out.
We pay tax, everything, yeah.
That's real emails and real numbers.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the cards.
If you want anyone sorted out, call us. Like, we'll give you a discount on our fee. We're the boys.
Okay, so I should tell people who are listening to this what the cards say. It says, Campbell Comedy Corporation. Then there's a clown pointing at you.
Yeah.
And then it says, Lord Axsmith, El Presidente.
Yeah.
And then Victor, El Vice Presidente.
Yeah.
So I have two cards to say this.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
We can't give the numbers out, obviously, on over there, but they'll find us if people really need us. We're like the A-team. If you need us, like, you'll find us.
So you're George Peppard and he's Mr. T or something?
Tong, or what's the name of the crazy
guy? We can be anything you like.
Murdoch.
Murdoch.
We can be anything you like for a fee.
Oh, man. So you mentioned Todd, your son, who's in All-Star Band, but I saw him through you. When
Straight Lines,
South by Southwest,
and Straight Lines with his band, they're still playing,
And I genuinely told you after the set that, you know, they sounded, and it wasn't.
They were wicked that afternoon, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't. It's a compliment. The Jimmy Eat World, they sounded a lot like Jimmy Eat World and Weezer, that kind of like pop sensibility, but like a heaviness undertone to it. And I love Jimmy Eat World and Weezer, so I mean, I thought
they played great stuff. Yeah.
Is it still going?
Yeah. Yeah, and they saw Straight Lines, and my youngest son, Tyler, he's a band called The People, The Poet. They're doing amazing now. They got the same agent as Adele and Mumford & Sons. Todd recorded an album. It took 3 years to record. Todd recorded his brother's album in his Todd studio, so it took 3 years to write and record.
Right.
It's been out for a while now, and then Dane... My other son, so I got three sons. He plays with Straight Lines as well, and the All-Star Band. So I got my three kids and Neil Starr. So the All-Star Band is myself, all my children, and Neil Starr singing. So it's wicked. So it's great. There's no better buzz in the world. Like
Neil Starr, is he? What is
from
he?
Attack.
Oh, right,
the British
of course.
One.
Right.
Yeah.
And those guys, also all those guys are all friends.
Yeah. And the hardest thing is trying to get everyone together for even a rehearsal, because there's so much. They're all doing so much recording and touring with other stuff. It's, you know, trying to get a rehearsal together is bad enough.
Right.
Never mind the thing.
So would Straight Lines go on tour with All-Star Band or something?
No, they would not.
And why wasn't All-Star Band playing this, the Motorboat? Just not enough?
No, I was a bit late. I did put a request in, but I think it was a bit late. But, we'll see what happens next time, I think. But there's no better buzz than... spreading your legs with ripped jeans playing Black Sabbath covers with your kids.
Yeah.
That's amazing, like, you know.
And I can't remember, but have you guys gone on tour, like,
we had Chris Jericho, we did Bloodstock last year, we did a full British tour, we had 5,000 in Silac Festival in France.
Wow.
Earlier on, a couple of months ago. We did another British tour, and we got a German European tour coming up now. So
European tour.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
After the Moat Red thing finishes,
right?
Starts on the 26th, I think.
Oh, so like once we get on back on shore,
yeah, we come to play with you guys. If you want us to support you guys, like
yeah,
we'd love to.
What are you going to get the vice president? Does that come with the Campbell Comedy Corporation?
Yeah.
It does, but you're going to be on our side, right? Like, there's no.
Huh.
You're on our side, though, right?
Oh, yeah, we're on your side then. Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
We're always on your side, boy.
Actually, Dove tried to get us. But he couldn't. We just told him amateur.
Yeah, yeah. Try to get back at you guys. That's
we bombed up three times now. He threatens. He threatens like big stuff to get back with us after the first stink bombing. He came up. He talked a good talk, like, but he's done nothing. And we've done him twice. We've done him three times since. Like that. That's the way we do. That's the way we work. He said his clothes stunk all the way to Seattle.
Does the smell stay with you on those stink bombs?
Huh?
The smell stays with you on those stink bombs? It's like a skunk?
No. Yeah, they mixed by me and Victor. We put the fragrances together, yeah. We go to a perfume company.
That's
we do
why
a stink
we came
bomb.
To Cozumel to get some, you know, some smells. We
go to a fragrance, we go to a lab. We don't actually go to the lab, but they send us some
tests.
Various tests, and we decide. It's not a classic stink bomb. It's a CCC Corporation stink bomb smell. It's not like nothing on earth.
Does the clown have a name?
Huh?
Is it like Eddie from Iron Maiden or something?
Clown. Danko, we call the clown.
Fuck. That's
or Jonesy, dependent.
I mean, you guys, you know, this is the Motorhead motorboat. The only way I can.
The only problem is there's too much going on. You miss every.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only thing, you know.
Well, I mean, I can speak for all of us. We've had a great time.
Yeah, it's been great.
It's a fantastic thing.
We'd be in, yeah.
I could have done another 3 or 4 days of it. We'd be able to see everyone, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I have seen boats that they had, like, a big lineup. Like not, I'm not saying of like the bands are bigger than no, just like a lot of bands.
A lot of bands.
Like a lot,
yeah.
A lot of bands, but this one is like the bands that are on it. It's so cool, you know. Like yesterday we watched Fire Emblem Ministry, and that was like insane.
They were the dark horse of the whole boat, and they killed it, crushed it.
I thought it was Ministry. I thought it was Al Jorgensen and all that.
No, it's this band from LA that has been you know, like in there, and nobody really.
Yeah,
cares about them. They're amazing.
And the big thing about them was Scott Reeder from Caius.
From Caius playing with them.
That was his first gig with them. Was last night.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that was the first gig. So they rehearsed a whole bunch of times for this, just for this,
and
with
they
the new member.
In years.
Yeah,
and they haven't played
in years. And so this was like a real special thing. So I talked to Jim, the singer, and he goes, "Well, when Motorhead asks you to do their cruise." You kind of drop what you're doing and you do it. That's what he said. And so they got Scott Reeder from Caius. And
cool.
Yeah, it was pretty heavy. I thought they really killed it last night.
And the Metal Alliance was pretty cool too.
Yeah, with all the covers. Portnoy. Portnoy's just here for Metal Allegiance, right?
Yeah.
He's just hanging out.
Yeah.
I got to meet him today at the. Cool.
What
were you gonna say?
If you're on stage, you can't manage to sing "Killed by Death." Like, couldn't you have two mouthpieces, and you could sing a line of your song, and it could go "Killed by Death" and come through the PA for us?
I'd love to, man. I'll zoom right over there if I can.
In the age of Iron Man, I'm sure we could high tech it up. Like, if we could do both,
or just like film me now.
Go on, put it up.
Yeah, out there, just lounging around.
Give him an A flat, bang.
And then put it on the screen up there when the show's going on.
He's such a boy and half. Maybe you should audition him for a corporation one day.
Nah, I don't
Not
know.
Yet, nah.
Nah.
No, I want to be on the inside. I don't want to be on the outside.
You don't want to be an enemy?
I don't want to be the enemy.
It could be worthy, maybe, a couple of years down the line.
Yeah, maybe, see. I don't know.
You're taking this one well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, keep me in mind.
He shows potential.
Yeah, you know. I should not say
he's got his them eyes.
Yeah, keep me on your side.
I should not say
you want to be on the side. Yeah, nobody wants to be on the other side.
No.
I mean, I should not say this, but I know, you know, like, I'm sure Phil agreed with me that all you guys, you know, like you and the.
Our heroes.
The other two guys, yeah, they're young, and it's like part of the family, you know.
Yeah.
Lem and everybody, and Mickey's like, Phil. We're always happy to see you guys. You know, it's like, Danko's going to be there. Danko's going to be there.
Oh, thank you, guys. That's really
I'm
going to
put a plaque up now.
Thank
say,
you.
Danko interviewed me. It'd be one of them historic. They won't be able to knock this cabin down ever. Danko interviewed here. Not interviewed, hangout here. Hangout, I should say. We can put you over the... I got a plank by there. We can put you over the plank. Should we lock him up? Oh, should we should have done? See?
No.
No. I could put you out there for an interview. Lock you. Couldn't do your fucking gig then, could you?
You know, I'd be crying. I'd just be crying on the floor.
Huh?
If he did that.
These are evil, these things. You've got no chance. The phones don't work. If you locked out there, you could miss everything. You could freeze to death, couldn't you?
Well, thanks for not doing that.
But who's our next then? We better... I think we're going to... Well, tell me now, what's your next bid now? It's 5:45. What are you doing tonight now?
We're going to play.
What time are you playing?
Why?
10 minutes ago.
Why?
No, I'm just asking.
We're a stink bomb free, so don't worry.
No, no.
Yeah, I know you're stink bomb free, but you're not locking me out of the door free.
No.
You're not fucking...
I don't want to spend the next fucking 3 hours hanging out with you. Yeah, I want to find out... I want to see what... I want to see what I'm... gonna miss if I hang out with you any longer.
Okay, we're on at 9. You guys are on at 10.
I can't stand another 3 hours of this guy.
No, we're good.
No, I'm good, man.
I'm good. You, yeah. Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Vic. Thank you, guys. Yeah, thank you. This is awesome. That's it. That's
you're
great.
Scared, huh?
I'm scared, and I'm good. I'm done.
Beware when you open your cabin door.
No.
No, your cabin door, though.
Not.
I'll give you a...
What was that phone call?
Huh?
Was that you? Had a phone call just now.
I can't reveal.
You may want to wear.
I can't reveal some the secret lines of the cabin.
When you open your cabin door, you may want to wear some protective gear.
All right. Well, I'll go in first, and then I'll.
I would. I'd send somebody else in first.
Yeah.
So I would ask for a change of cabin.
You fuckers. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Huh? Not for.
What does fish smell like with no air conditioning after 6 hours? Oh, in the bath with the hot water on.
All right. Well,
you're welcome.
Thanks for this. Thank you.
It's always good hanging out with you. You know that.
It's always awesome.
It's great. So much fun. I make love to mountain lions. Sleep at night.
Baby, I don't care.